Thank you for being here today. Let's stand as we pray. Holy God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time that we can come before you and be silent and to honor the God that you are. All the awe and the wonder and the power that we feel as we stand before your throne today. And God, you're good to us, undeserved love, and we thank you for that. And so at this time, on this day, we come individually and yet as a group to honor you for all that you do, but most of all for sending Jesus Christ into the world, but also into our lives, touching our hearts so that we can touch other hearts. And Lord, we just choose this time, this day, to treasure you for the God that you are. And it's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame. Rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. 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 Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Amen. Be seated, please. We're focusing today on our values and the value that has its most worth in heaven, setting our treasures on in heaven and not on earth. And so as we sing today, you'll hear words that talk about treasure and value and faith, and that sometimes what the world says doesn't necessarily match what God says. And we can change that if we just focus, push a little harder, and rely on his strength. I have found here love and mercy from an infinite supply. I have found here living water from a well that won't run dry. At your feet I bow in wonder, At your feet I place my crown. Let surrender be the only sound. At your feet I lay me down. Fear and failure, pride and hatred, you see all I've tried to hide. But sweet love here has embraced me. Wrath that turned to life divine. At your feet I bow in wonder. At your feet I place my crowns. Let surrender be the only sound. At your feet I lay me down. At your feet I bow in wonder. At your feet I place my crown. Let surrender be the only sound. At your feet I lay me down. At your feet I lay me down. My heart, my mind, my body, my soul, I give to you. Take control. I give my body a living sacrifice. Lord, take control. Take control. My heart, my mind, my body, my soul, I give to you. Take control. I give my body a living sacrifice. Lord, take control. Take control. Please stand for the reading of God's Word.
Morning, Graham Street. Am I on? All right, there we go. Good morning. Glad to see you all here. Glad you are here, ready to worship our amazing Lord and Savior. Amen. All right. We are just starting our summer. We got a lot of fantastic new graduates, both at the high school and the college levels. And for those of you who don't know, all the youngins got to advance to their new classes today at church. So some of the ones, like my Ben, who's four, he got to go upstairs to the big boy class. So very exciting for all the kids to kind of move to the new classes, new kids in their classes, new kids in their groups now. So a very exciting time of the year. Glad to see you all here. And I hope that you all have a good, exciting summer plans as well. I'll be reading from Colossians chapter 2. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us of all our sins, having canceled the charge of your legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Please pray with me. Our Lord and Father in heaven, thank you so much for being in control. Lord, with you on our side and your Son's sacrifice at the cross, we have won the battle. We have defeated evil, and we are promised a life of eternity with you in heaven. Lord, help us to walk boldly every day, knowing that you are on our side, that we can take on the evils of this world. Lord, I specifically pray today that as we do enter the summer season, and as our young men and women are advancing in class, in age, that we as a church have a constant mindset that we are preparing and equipping these young men and women to have the tools to take on the evils of this world. That we are raising the next generation of believers, of faith leaders in our communities, in our state, and in our nation. Lord, for those of us who are not in school, help us to continue to strive to be a church family that is cohesive, that is supporting, that is there for one another through the highs and the lows of life. Lord, help us to be influential not only amongst the members of this church, but in this community. Help us to reach out, to hug, to hold, to walk with those who are in this church, in this community that need you, that need to know your name, and that need your grace and mercy. Lord, I pray so much that you continue to walk with us, that you continue to give us all mercy, because none of us here are perfect. We are all broken. We all need you, your grace, and your love. Lord, thank you so much for this time today where we can gather, that we can share, that we can praise your name, that we can come to you with our needs. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this church. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Be seated, please. As we prepare for the Lord's Supper today, we're going to sing The Old Rugged Cross. It was one of my dad's favorite songs, and I just want to take a second to say thank you for the love and support that we've received over the last month with this. But if we believe what we say we believe, we're good, right? And treasures are in heaven. Faithful unto death, crown of life. And that's what we live, and that's what we believe, and that's what we sing about today, is that expectation that we have, that we know it's going to happen. And we come together and we celebrate with God and with Jesus whenever we do this. And so today I want you to really focus on that it's really not about what's out there, that it's really what's in here. And about what that man who was 100% God, 100% man, did on the cross that day, and the victory that he overcame in defeating death. And he's coming back for us. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To that old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Good morning, church. If anybody hasn't had the opportunity to grab one of these, a few men will come up, just raise your hand and they'll give you one. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and thankful that we can come together as a body of Christ to come worship you in the spirit and in truth. Through you, we have life. We were once dead, but you gave us life. Thank you for that body, this cracker that represents your body that you sacrificed on that cross to die for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's pray for the fruit of the vine. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the blood that you sacrificed. At this time, may we all examine ourselves and try to do better. And remember, it was your great sacrifice that we should be so thankful for and take time to remember. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you haven't already given, set aside from communion. There are trays in the back. Give your time, monetary donations. Just give back to the church. Let's be better than we once were before.
See. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Good morning.
Morning.
Man, I am super excited this morning. And before we do the children's offering and let loose for children's worship, I have an announcement. This Wednesday night, I know a lot of you are excited that school is out. Many of you stay-at-home moms are probably not so excited. But this Wednesday night will be our end-of-school big summer kickoff. And so at 5:30 on Wednesday, instead of doing the meals that we normally do, what we're going to do is we're going to have a sandwich supper. So if you guys could bring some sandwiches, we're going to start that at 5:30. And then at 6:30, if you could also bring some ice cream, your favorite ice cream, whether or not that's homemade, whether that's the all-expensive Bluebell, whether that's something else, whatever it is, bring your favorite ice cream. And if that isn't good enough for you, I hear by good authority that we might actually have door prizes. So I'm excited. It's going to be a fun night. We're going to have a little bit of worship, Devo, at some point. So I look forward to seeing all of y'all there. This morning, when we release for Children's Church, they will be up in the GPS room this morning. But if you would like to take your kids down to room 109, where the college meets, Casey will meet your kids down there, and then she'll take them all up together. So that way, you don't have to make the long trek down there. She's willing to do that. So we will now do our children's giving. Ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, singing Alleluia, Alleluia. Ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia. All right, right now we're going to take a few minutes to do our meet and greet, and then when you hear the song that's played, it will be over. Okay, so find somebody that you don't know or haven't seen in a while and give them a big hug.
I'm a child of God, yes I am.
Please remain standing for the reading of God's Word. The Word of God says, Matthew 6, 19 through 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. God bless the reading of His Word. Before our lesson, heaven holds all to me. Might be new to some of you. Really. Earth holds no treasure but perish with using, however precious they be. Yet there's a country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me. Heaven holds all to me. Brighter its glory will be. Joy without measure will be my treasure. Heaven holds all to me. out on the hills of that wonderful country. Happy, contented, and free. Loved ones are waiting and watching my coming. Heaven holds all to me. Heaven holds all to me. Brighter its glory will be. Joy without measure will be my treasure. Heaven holds all to me. Why should I long for the world with its sorrows, when in that home o'er the sea, millions are singing the wonderful story? Heaven holds all to me. Heaven holds all to me. Brighter its glory will be. Joy without measure will be my treasure. Heaven holds all to me.
Be seated, please. Good morning, church. Good to see everybody here this morning. Lee, I could see your dad singing with us this morning. It was really special. All right, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Matthew chapter 19. I'm going to read this and then we'll go to God in prayer. I think Lee's done a good job in setting up our theme this morning. We're going to talk about value. Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 19. Let's start at verse 16. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to have eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" And Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for all the wonderful gifts you've given us. We thank you for the rain that we had last night. We're thankful for the hope of more this week. We thank you for our earthly possessions. We're thankful for the gifts that you've given us in our children and our grandchildren. We're thankful for our education, for our work, and the list goes on and on. But above all the gifts that you've given us, we thank you for Jesus Christ. And Jesus, we thank you for the gift you've given us by your sacrifice for us, that we might be saved. And we thank you for the hope that we have of eternal life with you. The hope we have of the victory over sin and death through the resurrection and through your blood shed on the cross. We pray this morning that you will help us to value the right things, to put what is most important at the top of our list, and help us to be ready to sacrifice for what is most valuable. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've preached a series of lessons talking about what we need to be getting ready for in our youth ministry and things like that, and talking about intergenerational ministry, family ministry, things of that. I'm kind of closing things out this week a little bit more next week and talking on Memorial Day, but mainly this week I'm closing out that series. I want to share with you something that I use quite a bit in counseling. And it fits with dealing with individuals, but it also fits with dealing with groups. It especially fits with the church. I want to share it with you this morning because I think it's really important as we enter into the next phase of our work together as a church that we're on the same page with this. I call this values-driven ministry. For a church, it's important that we know what drives us as a church. And often we use the idea of vision and mission, and we kind of throw it out there as if everybody understands what we're talking about when we say vision and mission. And probably you can't really understand what the vision for the church needs to be or what its mission is unless you really understand the values of the church. And I think every one of us can relate to what I'll share this morning as dealing with an individual. But I want you to try to deal with it as a group. How do we share values together as a group? So I have this a little acrostic that maybe will help a little bit in understanding values motivation. The V, if you will, stands for values. A stands for anxieties. L stands for love. U stands for you. Experience, E. And then we have safety for S. Let's go through each one of them, and I want you to think about it, of course, dealing with yourself individually, but then I want you to make a view of this from the standpoint of the perspective of how does this look for a group. So number one, values. What's important to you? If I'm sitting down with a couple, let's say, and they're struggling in their marriage, you know, the first thing that we want to talk about is, what are your values? And there's a number of different ways I can ask that question and get to what I want them to see. What's most important to you? And they have to be able to look at this from an individual standpoint. You know, the husband has to be able to see what it is he values in their relationship, in their life, in their future. And then the wife needs to look at what she's doing the same way. But I need to help them. When they come to talk to me about a problem they're having in their marriage, I need to help them to see that they need to bring their values together. What's really important to them needs to be brought together so that they're in unity in what they're seeking in their relationship and in their future and in parenting their kids and all the things that they're involved in their marriage. They've got to be united in those values, because if he's going one way in his values and she's going in another, they're just going to get further apart. They have to bring those together. Well, if you want to, and looking at it, I mean, it's hard to make a comparison between a marriage, two individuals, with a whole church. But it's really true in the church as well. Unless we're together on what we value, what we think is most important, it's going to be hard for us to move together in mission and in vision. Because mission and vision is set upon this foundation of what our values are. So just quickly, let me just tell you about a few things about values. And you can fill in the spaces maybe. Obviously, whatever is valuable to God, whatever is valuable to Jesus, needs to be our top priority. Our values need to be based on what God, what Jesus has set for us to be the values. And the place that we find that is in God's Word. So we need to be together in that. You know, if people are saying the most important thing to me in church is fill in the blank, but they can't support it by what God and Jesus tells us are the most valuable to them in the Word, then we're going to have a hard time working together to accomplish what we think that God is telling us is valuable. And I think that often happens in churches. We lose sight of what's most important. Oftentimes in churches, what is most valuable to people in the church are what their individual values are. What's most important to them. Not necessarily what is most important to God or what's most important to Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church. He is the Lord. He is the King of Kings. What he calls valuable is valuable to the church because we're the body of Christ. We obviously need to be doing what he thinks is important because he is our head. He's our Lord. He's our King. We're his body. What he values, we value. And one of the things that's absent oftentimes is the agreement that we go to God's Word to determine what that value should be. You know, if you don't have an agreement on where you go to set your values, then you're going to have a hard time working that out. Like it is in a marriage. If the two, husband and wife, don't agree on what's the most important in their lives and in their marriage and in their family, then what source do you use to bring it together? How do you get to where you're in agreement? And if you can't do that, then you're just going to stay apart. You're going to be going in different directions. And in the church, multiply it however many members there are in the church, if you can't agree that you go to God's Word for determining what is the highest value, then you're going to have a hard time as a church moving forward. And we've got to do that. You know, when you look at some of the simple teachings of Jesus, sometimes we miss seeing what Jesus values. For example, when Jesus tells us that the very most important first commandment is to love God with all of our being and to love others as we love ourselves. All right, now that seems to be really important to Jesus. He called it the greatest commandment. All right, so we should be able as a church to say one of the values of Jesus, if not the top value to Jesus, is loving God and loving our fellow man. That should be high on our list because it was important to Jesus. Unfortunately, in many churches, that is not what would be put at the top of the list. Loving others is often about loving who we get along with, who we like to love, who we think is going to love us back. Not just flat out loving God first and loving others, period. That needs to be a high value. Jesus said unity is a high value. In the prayer that we read in John 17 of Jesus praying to the Father that the believers to the apostles' message would be one. One Father like you and I are one. That must have really been important to Jesus or he wouldn't have prayed that in John 17. Why did he pray that if that wasn't important to him? But in many churches, unity is not important. Being one together in unity for Jesus Christ is not important. And that's why so many churches are divided and they split and other churches are formed. And you could go through the list of Jesus' teaching and you can make a list of things that is valuable to Jesus. And church, if we're going to be what we're supposed to be as a church, our values need to be the same as Jesus' values. One of the things that's most valuable to Jesus is that we're saved. He died for that purpose. He was willing to go to the cross and shed his blood for us that we might be saved, that we might be redeemed back to God. We might be bought from Satan's clutches and sin and from death and be brought back in union with God, be reconciled to be God, to be forgiven of our sins and be able to live in a right relationship with God. That was so important to Jesus that he was willing to die for it. Is that the most important thing to our church? I mean, if it's really important to Jesus, it should be important to us. It should be right at the top of the list. People being saved should be important to the church because Jesus said it was important. And he died to make it so. So, church, just to begin with, when we're talking about values, we need to get back to what's important to Jesus, because he's the head, he's the Lord, he's the King, right? Here's where a problem comes into that. Traditions are important. Traditions are valuable. You know, I know in our family, Vicki and I have established certain traditions with our children early on because we felt like it taught something to help them to hang on to be valuable not only for their personal lives, but when they start their families. We want them to have those traditions. Now, they may deal with those traditions a little differently than the way we did, but we want them to pass that on to their children because we feel like it's important. Traditions. Traditions are valuable in churches. Many churches do what they do to a large extent based on the traditions of the church. And you want to make your traditions that you teach to your children and your children's children and so forth, such traditions that will help pass on the values of Jesus Christ. But there is a difference between traditions that we have developed to try to emphasize what we think is valuable and the values themselves. When I'm working with a couple struggling in their relationship, one of the things that I often have to work on with them is that because of their background, because of the family climate that they've come out of, the system that they grew up in, and what they saw witnessed before them in their parents and so forth, they have certain traditional views about how to do the things that they feel like are important. And one of the things I have to help them to do is to see that traditions are important, but only as they move your values forward. You can't make your traditions more valuable than your values. Does that make sense? Churches have to be careful that their traditions don't become more important than the things that Jesus taught us are important. And sometimes it's hard to discern, well, what's a tradition and what's actually the value? And do we value our traditions more than what's valuable? An example of that, I said a moment ago, putting loving God and loving our fellow man at the top of the list is important because Jesus put it there. But some of our traditions may cause us to not focus on loving people that we should love. In fact, our traditions sometimes can cause us to be kind of a closed set. We become a place that you're only a part of our group if you do things the way our traditions do them. And so our tradition becomes more important than the great value of loving people. In fact, we can be so traditional in keeping our traditions that we show an absence of love toward people by the way we treat them because we don't honor them like the people who keep our traditions. Does that make sense? There are things that we can do because we love to do it. That's the way we've done it. But there are people who are differing from us, and yet they still hold the same value of Jesus Christ so high. But their background is different. And yet we treat them like they don't belong because they don't understand our traditions. Church, we have got to grow more in understanding the difference. It's not wrong to have traditions. You're going to have traditions whether you like it or not. I mean, traditions is how we function. We all have our way of doing things. You probably do a lot of things in the same way all the time because that's the habit you're in doing. But you wouldn't have to do it that way. Do you always put on the right shoe first or the left shoe? Huh? I mean, do you know? You may just do that in such a habit that you don't even realize that you probably do one shoe first every time, unless something happens to throw off that habit. Does that mean that's the only way you can put your shoes on? Oh boy, that'll mess you up, you know, if you get interrupted while you're putting on your shoes. Something kind of throws you off and you put the left one on before the right one. If that's the opposite of the way you used to do it, you might actually get up and start to walk off not realizing you hadn't put the other shoe on. I mean, you laugh about it, but it's true. There are things that we do so habitually that we think that's the way it's done. Our mind just automatically accepts our habits as being the most important. Church, we do some things we do because that's the tradition or the habit of doing it that way. And oh, don't start panicking. Don't get all up in the air and saying, well, David's trying to bring in this and that and the other. I'm not trying to bring in anything. What I'm trying to say is, let's get back to understanding our core values. Let's understand what's really important. And let's base it on what God and Jesus thinks is important and not what we necessarily think is important. It's a good time for us to rethink some of those things and make sure that we're not treating people in a way that's not loving because they don't understand our traditions. And the traditions that we choose to keep, let's make sure they're traditions that advance the kingdom, that advance the values of God. All right, I've spent a lot of time on values. Anxieties. Oftentimes in counseling, you're dealing with people who have things that they're fearful of. They find themselves being obsessed about their fear about something. They're just anxious, and they come. One of the things that's helpful in working with people about their anxieties is to work with them about their values, because you don't get anxious about things that aren't valuable to you. That doesn't mean that they're the right values. But you get anxious about things that are important to you. And it's important to understand why they're important to you. Why are you anxious about that? Obviously, this is something that's important to you. What is it about that that's important to you that causes you to be fearful about it? It's true in churches, too. We get anxious about the things that we value. And we don't understand why we get anxious about it. This morning in Bible class, we had a combined adult Bible class for those of you who weren't there. And we announced what our summer program is going to be with our Bible classes. And I brought a cup that had popsicle sticks in it. And I colored different colors, three colors, red, green, and what was blue. Red, green, and blue, okay? And I had those popsicle sticks in the cup, and I passed them around and let people draw popsicle sticks. And those colors represent what class they'll be in. We'll have a class that meets here in the auditorium. We'll have one over in the family center. We'll have one down in room 109. And I said, now don't change this unless just physically you're not able to cross the street and so forth. Let's just see how this plays out. You may be in a class with some people that you don't know. That's good. Let's do that, okay? So, some people are anxious about that. Some people are thinking, well, I like being in the auditorium. I like being in the auditorium class. Now, I didn't set their mind at ease at all about that. I just told them a reason why they need to not be anxious about not being in the auditorium class, because there's probably a greater anxiety that would bother them if they were in the auditorium class, because the pews aren't going to be in here for where they would normally like to sit, because we're going to take out a section of pews here, and there's going to be chairs back there, and they're going to sit around in the circle and not in the pews. Now, I didn't solve their anxiety one bit by telling them that. Now they're anxious about what they're going to have to sit in. And they're not going to be able to sit in their pew, you know? You know why they're anxious about that? Because sitting in that pew that they usually sit in is important to them. That's valuable to them. You don't get anxious about things that are not valuable to you. Now, there's two or three approaches that you can take to that anxiety. One is you may need to reevaluate your value system. If you're anxious about something that's not really that important, then maybe you need to lower your value scale on that, you know, because it can ease your anxiety if you decide, you know, that's not really that important. It's amazing when you're working with couples that are struggling in their marriage and you start saying, well, why are you anxious about that? And they begin to understand what it is that they value, that they're anxious about. And as they begin to talk about it, they say, hey, you know, that's not really that important. It's not worth the anxiety that I'm putting on it. Churches have the same problem. Some of the things that we get anxious about as a church are not really that important. And what happens when you get anxious is you often ignore things that are more valuable that you need to be focusing on. I was talking with a couple not long ago, and it's none of you, so don't try to figure it out. Well, the couple that forgot to pick up their child because they got so upset, so nervous about something going on in their marriage, that they forgot to pick up their child at school. So I was talking with this couple, and I was saying, well, why is that? Why would your kid is obviously valuable to you. I mean, you wouldn't normally do that. Why was this something that made you so anxious that you forgot that you had a child to pick up at school that day? And as we began to talk about that, and we talked about you only get anxious about what you value, so what is it that you valued more than picking up your kid? And they begin to realize, you know what? There's nothing that should be that valuable that I would forget my child. Church, we do a lot of this in the church, and we don't even realize we're doing it. People get their feelings hurt. They get upset over something. They get angry about something. At the source of that is fear, anxiety. Why do they get anxious? Well, because something they value is being disrupted. And oftentimes what we need to do is change our value system. What really should be at the top of that list instead of what they're putting at the top at that particular time? The other thing is learning good coping skills with anxiety. Some anxieties are not that easy to reevaluate. Sometimes it's something that is so ingrained in us, embedded in us, such a fear that we're having to deal with that goes back to other fears in our life, that it's something that first you have to deal with it from coping mechanisms. We don't teach coping with anxiety in our churches. We do this terrible thing, us preacher types, we do this terrible things to churches. We kind of pretend that we talk to audiences every week that don't have anxieties. We talk like being a Christian, you're not anxious about anything. Because, I mean, after all, Philippians 4 says, be anxious in nothing, but be in prayer for all things. So, obviously, Christians aren't going to be anxious. That is not true, and you know it's not true. We live constantly with anxiety. And we need to help each other have better coping skills with our anxieties. It is not just the responsibility of the person to deal with their anxiety. Paul was addressing the need for the whole church to work together to help each other to deal with their anxiety. And we need to do that as the family of God. Number three, love. I ask this question, really simple. What do you or who do you love? If I were to ask you to make a list this morning of what and who you love, what would be on the list? And then if I were to ask you the question, well, who loves you? Who would you put on the list? At the core of our being, we want to be loved. What you may not realize, at the core of our being, we want to love others. We're made that way. In fact, some of the things that we love, it was never God's intention that we love those things. God intended us and made us to want to love people, not things. You know, when God created Adam and God said, it's not good for man to be alone, he wasn't saying, okay, let me give you some more things, Adam. This will solve your problem. It says, Adam looked at all the animals and he still didn't find what was filling that hole in his heart. He needed something. And God said, it's not good for man to be alone. And he made woman for man. God knows, because he made us that way, that he wants us to love. He wants us to be in relationships of love. But one of the problems that we deal with as a church is trying to help people find healthy love. The place that God wants modeled in our world today, modeled for the rest of the world to see how to love, is the church. That's why Jesus is called the head of the bride, which is the church. They're like husband and wife, the relationship. The reason why it's made that way, the reason why God made it that way, is because the world needs to see the love relationship between Jesus and his church and Jesus. That's why Jesus, after washing the apostles' feet, he said, you need to do like I've done for you. This is the show of love, and the world will know that you love, or the world will know that you're my disciples by your love for one another. That's what we're here to model. When we talk about letting our light shine, the light that we need to let shine is the light of love in the world. And if the world wants to find how to love, they need to see it in the church. Unfortunately, there are people that will not go to church. Not because they don't want a relationship with God. Not because they don't know Jesus and they want to have a relationship with him. It's because they've been to church and they didn't see love. They didn't see the model of love from the church. This is something we have to get right, church. We don't have a choice about this. It's not just unfortunate if we don't look loving. It is a denial of our mission as a church. We are here to show the world what love looks like. And if the world doesn't find love in the church, where will it find love? They will call things love that's not really love. And they will substitute for loving relationships the love of things. If we're going to spend eternity together, we better get along here. We're probably not going to spend eternity together if we don't get it right here. E is for experience. This is where it gets real practical. Okay? This is where it really gets practical. In counseling, what you try to help people realize is that their experience needs to match their values. You know, if you've got a couple that's struggling in their relationship, and you start talking to them about how they experience life together, how does that work for you? What's going on in your home? What's happening in your relationship? How do you show love toward one another? How do you help each other understand what's important to you? How do you communicate that to your husband? How do you communicate that to your wife? And so forth. As you deal with this top group of things, you say, how does your experience verify what we've talked about to this point? And here's the question. What can we change about your experience that will verify, will affirm to your mate what your values are and your love is and free you from the anxiety that you're struggling with? Now, how do you do that? How do you help people? Now, one of the things that is a part of this is helping them understand the you. Who are you? And what's going on with you? What are you experiencing in your life? How would you identify yourself? And what is your relationship bringing to that identity? Because what often happens is that husband and wives find themselves re-identifying themselves, re-describing themselves, changing their basic makeup and character, trying to make it work in the relationship. So there has to be that understanding of who they are, whose they are, where they're going, what do they belong to, and so forth. All of that, all those identity issues. And say, how does your experience verify, affirm that in your life? Church, we struggle with this. To begin with, churches as a whole often do not understand who they are and what they're supposed to be accomplishing, and their experience can't verify or affirm that. We know often intellectually who we're supposed to be as a church, but our experience doesn't affirm that. It doesn't verify that. It doesn't help people to understand that who we claim to be is who we really are. And we need to change our experience to uphold all these other values that we're talking about. One of the things that I was shocked, I was in a ministerial alliance meeting the other day, and one of the ministers thanked Graham Street Church through me for the identity of the church in our community of being a serving church. I was a little shocked by it. I didn't really understand what was being said. He said, David, I want to thank you. I want to thank Graham Street because people in the community are becoming more and more aware that the church is about serving by what they see at the Graham Street Church of Christ. That's a compliment to you, folks. You know, instead of the negative view, church getting its way, you know, churches, hypocrites, churches, judgmental, that sort of thing, he said there are more and more people who are beginning to see the church as something that God put in our community to serve the needs of people, and you're modeling it at Graham Street Church of Christ. And I was like, wow. Our experience is affirming who we say we are. Our experience is affirming what we say is our values. And we need to keep that up, and we need to expand on that. We need to make sure that our experience is really what affirms what we're doing. And here's the hard part. And if our experience is not doing what we think are really our values, what we really think is important to God and to Jesus, we need to change that experience. We need to change what we're doing. If it doesn't match our values and our values are really God's values and Christ's values, then we need to change our experience. Jesus said, after washing the apostles' feet, now do what I have done for you. Your experience needs to match what is the value I've put in front of you. The value is you need to love each other, and your service shows your love. Do what I've done. R.S. This is so important. Safety is important to everyone. One of the reasons why we have anxiety, one of the reasons why we have confusion, one of the reasons why our experiences don't verify our values, one of the reasons why people are confused about their own personal identity, is because they don't feel safe. When you don't feel safe, you change. Sometimes that change is not good. But you can't stay where you are if you don't feel safe. Do you feel safe in this church? Do you feel safe? It concerns me if there's anyone who comes to our church and feels like they're in jeopardy. It concerns me if there's anyone who comes here because they feel like to please God they need to come to church, but to come to this church they don't feel safe. They feel they're being judged. They feel they're being criticized. They feel like they don't fit in. They feel like that people don't approve of them. That they don't really have a place of honor and safety. They don't feel like their kids are safe. They don't feel like they can be themselves here. Or they don't feel like they can come because there's some real things that they're struggling with, and they're afraid that if they let it come out, if they let it be exposed, if anybody sees what they're struggling with, they wouldn't be safe here. Church, we can't have that. This needs to be a safe place for people. Regardless of what they're struggling with. Regardless of what their checkered past may have. Regardless of how they may have been received by their own family or by another church. Or just all the things that just mess up people's minds. They know that they can come here. And they're safe. I want people to be able to deal with that individually, obviously. But this is a group thing. This is something we have to work together on. Because you see, if there's any one person of us who's making other people feel unsafe, it's part of all of our concern. That's a tall order, isn't it? And, you know, who wants the job of going to that person and saying, hey, you know what? The way you're behaving, the way you're talking, your mannerisms, the way you're living outside of when we're assembled together, it's causing people to feel unsafe here. Wow. I mean, volunteer, raise your hand if you want that job to go talk to that person, right? I mean, let's be serious about it. Let me tell you something. And I don't want to scare our elders. I hope we have no elder resignations at the end of this sermon, okay? Our elders are stuck with that job. Have you thought about that? I mean, in taking care of the sheep, one of the biggest responsibilities for taking care of the sheep is helping the sheep to be safe. And if there is anyone in the church that is threatening the safety of the sheep, the elders have responsibility for that. That's why they're called shepherds. That's a huge responsibility. But I'm telling you, church, it's not just their responsibility. We all need to be watching out for each other, and we all need to be practicing discipline within the church. When a friend of yours, when a relative of yours, when somebody that you have a relationship with is behaving in such a way that it causes people to feel unsafe in this church, it is your responsibility. Galatians 6:2 says this very clearly. We all have responsibility to say, hey, that's not the way we behave here. That's not the way we talk. We won't put up with that. And you know, what happens sometimes is that when something has to be done to deal with something where someone is misbehaving, the church goes in support of the person who's had to be disciplined. And we can't do that. Church, we have got to be willing to say what is most important, what is most valuable. And there are times, and we need to be very careful about how we do this, and it needs to be done in love, and it needs to be done in a tremendous amount of prayer. But sometimes you have to stand up to people who are making other people feel unsafe, and you have to say, that will not be tolerated. And when we have shepherds that are brave enough to do that, we need to support them. Before you criticize an elder, I just ask you to do one thing. You spend a day in prayer about it. Timothy, an evangelist of the church, with, I would think, a high level of the Holy Spirit, and the greatest mentor that there's ever been in the Apostle Paul, was told by Paul in 1 Timothy 5 that do not casually take the criticism of an elder without another witness. That's how important it was to him. Church, if we're going to be what we need to be in this transition that we're in, we got to pull together. We got to protect our safety. And I'm talking about spiritual safety here. What's most important is whether people are saved. There are times when people will choose another church. There are times when the healthier place for them to be is another group. That doesn't mean they're losing their soul. That doesn't mean we need to criticize them. They need to make their choice what's best for their family. That may happen. But when someone chooses to be unfaithful to the Lord because of what they've experienced in this church, we have to be concerned about that. Their safety is our concern. And we need to constantly be praying for one another in doing that. Okay, so let me summarize what I've said. Values. What's important to God and Jesus, that's what we value. Anxieties. Anxieties, our fears are connected to what we value. Make sure we've got our values right, and we'll control better our anxieties. Love. We are commanded. We have no choice in this, to love one another. And we need to teach how to love. You need to understand who you are and whose you are. You belong to Jesus. That changes the way you behave. It changes the way you think. It changes the way you love. Experience. It is up to us to confirm our values by our experience. If our experience is not confirming the values of God and Jesus, we need to change our experience. And then we need to practice with every level we can, safety in our relationship with one another. What's safe is eventually going back to being saved. The two go together. If someone's losing their soul because of something, we need to be on top of it. That's the most important safety that we're concerned about. Okay. All right. End of this series. We've dealt with some heavy stuff. I preached a long time. More than I like to preach. I love you. I want this church to be what we want it to be. But more importantly, I want it to be what God wants it to be. And wherever we go from here, whatever we do in this next step, whatever comes out of all of this, that's what's most important. Are we what God wants us to be? Are we what Jesus Christ wants us to be? Let's pull together. Let's make that the most important thing. As we get around to hiring another minister, whenever that comes, we will not make everybody happy. That minister will not do the ministries that make everybody happy. There will be things about his characteristics that somebody will say, well, didn't see that coming. Why didn't that show up when we were trying to choose who we were going to hire? There'll be all kinds of things come out of this. Folks, we have got to pull together and support that person. When that time comes, we've got to support them. And we've got to support one another in being what we need to be. Let's love each other regardless. And let's let that person know that he has come into a family of love. I'm just going to wrap up the sermon here with a prayer. But this morning, if you're here and you realize some of the things I've talked about touch on you personally, and you need some help with it, I'd be glad to work with you. Our elders would be glad to work with you. If some of these things are things that you need some help with, we want to do that. You don't have to come marching down the aisle for that. We can talk in private. But if this morning, before we dismiss, you would like to come before this church and ask for us to pray for you as a family, we would love to do that before we leave today. That's what it's about. So if you will, bow with me and let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing. Not that we will be happy. Not that we'll get our way. Not that we'll be able to brag about ourselves. But Father, we come to you this morning in conclusion of this series and we ask this simply, that we be what you want us to be. That we will be the church that you've called us to be. That in this church, people both inside and outside this church will see Jesus living in us. That this church looks like Jesus. That's what we want. That's what we pray for. And if it means we do things different, if it means we look at things different, if we treat each other differently than what we're doing, Father, we ask that you put that upon our hearts and help us to do it. For our greatest desire is to be what you want us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and sing?
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. Jesus, I surrender humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Be seated, please.
Good morning. A few couple quick little announcements. Maybe I got to stay away from that thing. I don't know. Tomorrow, Rutledge Electric is going to be here, and we're going to start on this side of the building. We're going to be replacing all the lights, light fixtures, ceiling tiles. Exciting. Yay. We got a week here, and a week there. So that being said, I appreciate, I'm going to start on a positive note. I appreciate everyone's help who always responds. There's a few of you out there, a handful, a few that show up every time. Man, it makes my life a lot easier, because otherwise it's 3 or 4 people doing what 20 people would be doing. I really appreciate you guys. You know who you are. For everyone else, please respond to my text whenever I text you or if I speak to you at church. I'm asking for help because I need help, okay? I'm not asking for help just to be nice. I'm asking because I need it. So this is a lot of moving in and out parts. I'm going to have a lot of things going on, short time spans to get it done. I get it. Everybody's got stuff going on. I got stuff going on I'd rather be doing too, believe me. Let's make it count. George, I appreciate what you said this morning about the offering. Money's very important. We'd have no lights without money. Time is very important. Time is very important. You make all the money in the world, but the amount of time you got, that's it, right? Something to think about. Please, 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 whenever I text you, respond yay or nay. Try to make it. We're going to start today. Today will be the start, 1 o'clock. We're going to just move out this side of the pews. We're moving the sound system up there today, the soundboard system. Mr. Foreman's going to need some help with that. If any of you guys are tech savvy, because I am not, we're going to be labeling that thing, taking it apart, moving it up there, putting it back together. That's all I got. Hopefully we see lots of improvements here in the next coming weeks and get this ball rolling and make it a little nicer in here for everybody.
Thanks, Jacob. Visitors, glad you're here today. As you heard, we're probably going to be working through our construction. So as the saying goes, please pardon our mess while we're working on it. So just heads up with that. And be able, if you can contribute, whatever that might be, to have some time and effort to help some of the physical labor stuff, that would be really appreciated. So appreciate that and get in touch with Jacob, however he can help out. David, thank you for the lesson. Good job. Thank you for the message, and thank you for the reminders on who we need to be. Lee, thanks for the song service today. So some other things. We still have several that are recovering from surgeries, and we have several that are still waiting for surgery. So continue to remember, watch the list in the bulletins to remember who those people are, and keep them in prayer as they continue their recovery or getting prepared to have a surgery. I don't know that we emphasize it too much, but there are a couple. We emphasize the Wednesday night thing this week. Sunday next week, pay attention, because there is a little bit of change there. There's next Sunday morning, it's not a Bible class. It's a muffin service. So please bring some breakfast treats or whatever you want to do, and then we'll have a time to fellowship and have a snack before our worship. That'll start at 9 o'clock, so be there. Be ready to go at 10. Also, I have a message here for next Monday, which is Memorial Day, not tomorrow, but a week Monday, Memorial Day, May the 30th. There'll be the American Legion Post is going to have a Memorial Day service at the West End Cemetery at 9 a.m. Nathan Collier is going to be the featured speaker for that. And so I've got an opportunity to come out and support that and remember our veterans and you know, all those that have gone on before, served our country. Please make an effort to be a part of that at 9 a.m. It says at the American Legion Veterans Field of Honor at the West End Cemetery. So be looking for where that is. Just also know that, you know, some of the roads are tore up around that West End Cemetery, and there's access to the Field of Honor at the West Swan Street and South Harbin entrances. So just remember that. One final thing, the baseball guys did it again last night, so congratulations to them. They move on. They're officially Region 1 quarterfinals, so they will move on, play Snyder, I believe. I don't have any details, so y'all hear that fit quicker than I do. Be sure to get the word out on where they play next and where that's at. So. Just want to appreciate all that. So let's remember as we go out this week to, serve our Lord and to be a light to others and let them know why we do what we do. So let's go to our God in prayer, and then we'll have one more song. Dear Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you give us. Thank you for the opportunities you put for us to serve. Help us to look at those opportunities and take hold of them and to do our best effort to help serve other people and to make this a shining light for you and be able to show other people in the community what we're about. Dear Father, we thank you for our ministers. We thank you for our staff. We thank you for all the teachers that we have that teach our little kids and our teenagers and all the way up. Thank you for everything you do for us. Help us to continue to serve. Basic Needs does wonderful work. Celebrate Recovery is also there. And just a whole slew of different things that we have the opportunity to serve. Be with our college ministry as we continue to look for opportunities and work through how to make that better and to find things that we need to be working on that to help serve the students at Tarleton and the development and maturity of their faith. Dear Father, thank you for everything you do for us. Help us have good week, be with our sick, and be with those that are needing to recover. Dear Father, thank you for everything you do for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be standing for our last song.
One more note. My wife said to be sure to remember about casseroles on Thursday. So we'll be doing that. You can drop them off around 4 o'clock or drop them off at the office if you need to during the day. And then we'll run it and at 5 until they're gone. So that's Thursday, if you would. This world is not my home. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me
from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, You know I have no friend like You. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their song of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, You know I have no friend like You. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. God bless and have a good week.